Daniel, my watch is exactly like me. It's dead on the inside, and it's not going to start back up any more than I am. Henry snaps the back onto the watch and passes it to me. I'm very sorry, young man, he says. I hoped we could help. I take it from him and put it back on my arm. Thank you for trying, I say. I shake his hand and he grips mine tightly. I reach into my back pocket and pull out my wallet. How much do I owe you? Henry shakes his head. Not a thing. We couldn't fix it. You don't pay. He nods to me and goes back upstairs. He turns back at the last minute and says, Happy New Year, son. Thank you, sir, I say back. The door closes behind him. Faith blows out a heavy sigh. He looks so tired, Faith says, but he keeps going. He never gives up. She blows out a heavy breath. Did you sleep? I ask. She shakes her head. Not yet. Her hair is loose around her shoulders now. Earlier, it was in a messy, beautiful knot on top of her head. She's wearing jeans and a sweatshirt, and she looks comfortable. I jerk a thumb toward the couch. I hope it's okay that I slept on the couch. I woke up and you were gone. She smiles. I just went to check on Nan and take a shower. She picks up my arm and looks down at my watch, biting her lower lip between her teeth. I'm sorry I couldn't fix it. I know it's important to you. I shrug. It's not important. Or at least it won't be after tonight. It was one of many things on a list I have to get done today. She narrows her eyes at me. What else is on your list? Just some stupid stuff, I murmur, more to myself than to her. Such as? She leaves the question hanging in the air between us. Heat creeps up my cheeks. I don't know why my list embarrasses me. I wanted to get a tattoo, so I got one last night. Oh, she says, brightening visibly. Can I see? My face heats even more. I lift my sleeve, though, and let her look at it. Instead of reaching for the tattoo, her fingers tentatively slide down the burns on my forearm, just below it. Did this happen in Afghanistan? She asks. Her hand trembles against my skin, and I want to jerk her to me. But I have nothing to offer her. Nothing at all. I nod. I lift my sleeve a little more, hoping that she'll stop drawing that little circle on my forearm. Yet I secretly hope she won't stop. In fact, I want her to open her hand and press it to my skin. I want to keep it there. I blow out a breath, and she's so close to me that her hair raises. Nice ink, she says. I nod and pull my sleeve down. She grins. Do you want to see mine? She pulls back the sleeve of her sweatshirt and turns her wrist up. She has a small infinity circle on her inner wrist. It's dainty and girly and fits her. Infinite love and gratitude, she says. She draws out the G hidden in the middle of the tattoo with the tip of her finger so I can see it. The end of the infinity symbol is shaped like a heart. Infinite love and gratitude, I repeat. This woman chokes me up every fucking time. What are you grateful for? I look into her green eyes. She heaves a sigh. A better question would be, what am I not grateful for today? She starts to clean up her work area. I'm grateful I woke up today, she grins. Well, yesterday. What else? I ask. I hitch my hip on the edge of her table. She turns around and lifts the hair from the back of her neck. I have another one here, she says. She smiles at me from over her shoulder. Another tat? I ask. I wanted to know what else she was grateful for. She nods and I walk closer. I brush the tendrils of hair from the nape of her neck. She shivers lightly, but she's still smiling. A butterfly, I say. That's original. I was 18, she complains, but she's grinning, so I know she's not mad. A rebellion thing? I ask. She nods and her face flushes. I got in so much trouble, she says. Then she blows out a playful breath. I thought my dad was going to kill me. Do you have any more? I ask. Her face flushes. She does. Where? I ask. Other places, she mutters. She suddenly is really interested in cleaning her workspace. Like where? I tease. My heart feels lighter right now than it has in a really long time. I'm not sure I like it. If you must know, I have one on my butt. She turns away from me, and all I can do is look at her ass. She does fill out her jeans nicely, but I'm dying to see that tattoo. Can I see that one? I ask. A grin tugs at my lips. It's such a foreign feeling that I don't know what to do with it. It falls from my lips. She snorts. You get many girls out of their pants with that line? She asks. She pours another cup of coffee for me when she sees me tip my cup up to drink the last drop. Thanks, I say. I look into her green eyes. There haven't been any girls in a long time, I say. I motion toward my leg. It took me a while to learn to use this thing. You done learning how to use it yet? She asks. She smirks at me over the rim of her mug. I nod. As done as I'm going to get. I let my gaze roam up and down her body, and she glares at me and crosses her arm under her breasts. Sorry, I murmur. I can't help it if you're fucking beautiful. She grins and blushes, and it makes her even prettier. I'm doomed. Fucking doomed. I guess I should let you get back to work, I say. Or to bed. Or whatever it is you do during the day. I look toward the door. Do you know what time the street vendors start selling hot chestnuts and hot chocolate? Her brow rises. You eat chestnuts and hot chocolate for breakfast? It's on my list. I pull it from my pocket and look down at it. My bucket list is pretty silly now that I think about it. I should probably just go to the hotel and sleep. She leans over to look at my list. What else is on it? Her eyes open wide and she says, A Broadway play? On New Year's Eve? I nod. Can I go? She whispers. She grabs my arm and looks into my eyes. Take me with you? Faith. I can't believe I asked him that. I want to bite the words back, but they're already out there. The look on his face is painful in its intensity. He lifts a brow, trying to act like I haven't scared him. But I think I did. You want to go see a Broadway play? With me? I nod, biting my lower lip between my teeth. His gaze rakes across my mouth, lingering there, and he presses his lips together. I've always wanted to go. I shrug. I'm embarrassed. My mother used to take me every year. We would walk around the city and eat hot chestnuts, drink chocolate, and do all the things on my list on New Year's Eve. He shrugs, suddenly looking uncomfortable. I don't even know what's playing tonight. Cinderella, I breathe. Rodgers and Hammerstein's. I sometimes feel like Cinderella. I take care of everyone else, but no one takes care of me. Not anymore. Granddad is busy with Nan, and Nan is too ill to do much more than exist. My parents think I'm invincible, but I need things too. I just don't want anyone to know it. I wave a breezy hand in the air. You know what? I say. Never mind. It was a silly impulse. Do you need to go and get your purse? He says. He grins, though, and he has color on his cheeks for the first time since I met him. I pat my pockets. I have my credit card and my identification. That's all I ever carry. But I would need something to wear to the theater. Are you serious? I ask. You want me to go with you? He shrugs, but he's still smiling. He looks younger when he smiles, and he's so handsome that he takes my breath. Do I need to ask your granddad's permission? He whispers playfully. I nod. He probably does. He sits back, looking down his nose at me like he's startled. I do, don't I? He asks. I nod again. It's the gentlemanly thing to do, I say playfully. Damn, you're going to make me work for it, he mutters, but he's still smiling. Yes, I'm making him work for it, because he needs to work for something he wants. Can you come upstairs while I get a few things together? I ask. I watch his face. I'm still not sure if he wants me to go, or if he's humoring me. He nods and grins, shaking his head. But he starts up the stairs. When he gets to the top, he stops. Should I knock? He asks. I reach by him to turn the knob, and he weaves a little, unsteady on the stairs. Oh, shit. I just made him walk up the stairs on his prosthetic leg. I'm an idiot. He inhales as he reaches for the rail behind me. He closes his eyes, and a little hum vibrates past his lips. I look up at him. He's sniffing me? I freeze and just watch his face. He looks peaceful. My heart starts to skitter when he opens his brown eyes and stares into mine. You just smelled me, I whisper. Yep, he says. He grins. He looks more boyish than he has since he came into the shop, and my heart trips. His voice is soft when he replies. You smell nice. Nice, I snort. Just what every girl wants to hear. He grins. What? He asks. Nice is good. Babies smell nice. I scrunch up my face. Public restrooms smell nice. He chuckles. I think your definition of nice is very different from mine. He scrubs a hand down his face, like he's wiping a smile away. I poke a finger into his chest. What's so amusing? I ask. Babies stink, and so do public restrooms. He leans forward, and I feel his breath, hot and humid, against the side of my neck. Wind moves by my ear, and he inhales deeply. His voice is harsh when he says close, You're right. You don't smell nice at all. You smell fucking hot. His nose brushes the side of my neck with gentle little sweeps, and goosebumps erupt on my arms. Hot? I breathe. Well, I sort of breathe it. It's more like I choke it out. Like a kid who hawks out a hot dog bit that gets stuck in his throat. He shakes his head. No, I said fucking hot. He leans close to me again and closes his eyes, inhaling deeply. It's antiperspirant and coffee, I say. I cough into my closed fist because my throat is tight. He shakes his head. It's you. He looks into my eyes. Suddenly the door to the upstairs opens, and I almost fall into the room. But Grandad reaches for me and steadies me. You two going to do it on the stairs, or are you coming inside? He asks. He taps his foot. I can tell he's annoyed, but he's still being nice. For now. He glares at Daniel. I thought you said goodbye a few minutes ago. He tried, I chirp. Grandad is fucking with him, and enjoying it. He doesn't get to enjoy much these days. But I begged him to take me with him. Grandad's brow arches. Take you with him where? He barks. I wave a breezy hand in the air. Back to his hotel room so we don't have to do it on the stairs. I walk past Grandad and toward my room. I can hear Daniel sputtering, and I'm suddenly glad I'm in my room where he can't see me, because I can't stop laughing. I go into the bathroom and grab a few toiletries, my makeup, and then I sort through my closet looking for a dress. I pull out a slinky one that's just wisps of fabric on the rack and stuff it into my purse. Shoes go in next. I look around. That's all I need. I walk back out to the kitchen where I think I'll find Grandad glaring at Daniel. But they're not there. I hear the rumble of a hearty chuckle from Nan's room and stick my head in. I freeze when I see Nan sitting up. She's flirting like crazy with Daniel, and he's flirting back. His cheeks are all rosy and Grandad is smiling. He likes it when Nan's happy. Nothing makes him more content than the sight of her smile. He looks at me over the top of Daniel's head and grins. He likes him. I like him too, but I'm not sure he wants to be liked. Daniel gets to his feet. Are you ready to go? He asks. I nod, and he takes Nan's hand in his and raises it to his lips. Her face gets pink, and she makes a tittering noise. He tells her how wonderful it was to meet such a young and beautiful woman. He winks at me, and Nan eats it up. I suddenly feel tears sting my eyes, and I blink them back furiously. We'll be back late, I say.
How late?
Grandad shoves his hands in his pockets and rocks back and forth on his heels. I look up at Daniel.
How late? I ask.
I'll have her home before midnight, he says, and he suddenly looks way too serious. I forgot that he has somewhere to be at midnight.
Be sure you do, Grandad warns.
Daniel grins and rubs a finger across the bridge of his nose. Daniel ushers me out the door with a hand at the center of my back. I step out and walk slowly down the stairs. The sun is bright, and I lift a hand to cover my eyes.
Where do you have to be at midnight? I ask.
I just have something I have to do, he says. And he suddenly looks sad. I'm sorry I asked.
Okay, I say.
Where do you want to go first? I ask.
We should probably go to the hotel and see if we can even get tickets for the show.
You want to have some hot chocolate first? I ask.
His eyes open wide. At this time of the day?
I grin. He has a list, and I'm going to help him accomplish everything on it.
Daniel.
Her boots crunch in the snow as she walks on the side of the sidewalk, leaving an unobstructed path for me and my bum leg. It's sweet of her, but not necessary. I grab her elbow and jerk her over to me. I almost upend myself in the process, but it's worth it when she falls against me. She's warm and soft, and she smells so good. I breathe her in, knowing I don't get long with her. I'm going to enjoy every minute I have.
You manhandle all your dates?
She asks, and I can't bite back my grin.
That wasn't a manhandle.
I tap the tip of her cold nose with my finger. That was a well-choreographed tactical maneuver. Worthy of a medal, if I do say so myself. Her left eyebrow quirks.
I only give medals for one thing, soldier. And since I just met you today, I seriously doubt you'll be earning that on this date.
I narrow my eyes at her. Hello, man-meat. So nice of you to pay a visit. I try to subtly adjust my junk. She grins even more, her rosy cheeks blushing.
Did you really just say that? I ask,
but I'm grinning so wide my face hurts.
Say what?
She asks, looking all innocent.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Her gaze drops toward my lap. She hooks her fingers in my belt loops and rocks me toward her until we're touching below the belt. I grimace because I know she can feel that.
Sorry, I whisper.
For what? She whispers back.
For being a guy, I say.
She points southward.
Oh, that's your excuse? Here I was thinking I'm irresistible.
That too. I lift my hand and cup the side of her face. Her skin is soft and warm. My hands are calloused and rough, and I almost hate to touch her with these hands. They're scarred and not nearly good enough. I take a deep breath to fortify myself, and just when I'm about to pull my hand down, she covers the back of my hand with hers. She turns her head and places her lips against my palm.
You make me want to wake up, I say.
I close my eyes as soon as the words touch the cold air, because I didn't mean to say them out loud.
Then wake the fuck up, she says back playfully.
She inches a little closer until her chest touches mine. I don't know if I can. Time stopped for me a long time ago. I glance at my watch.
Look around you,
she says quietly. There's a soft smile on her face, and her eyes don't look away from my face as I take in the city. It's just starting to wake. People scurry from place to place, and traffic is moving.
Time didn't stop.
You did. Our breaths mingle in front of us. My fucking breath is getting closer to her than I am. It's going to be inside her on her next inhale. And I never will.
Did you come with me today because you think you can fix me? I ask.
She shakes her head.
It's because you promised me Cinderella, she says.
This time she blushes even harder than when I was talking sexy to her.
I've always wanted to see it.
She shrugs.
It's on my bucket list.
Why would someone with so much left to live for even need a bucket list?
What else is on your list? She shakes her head again. A lot of foolish stuff. She turns and starts to walk beside me. She points to a street vendor who's just getting set up. Buy me some hot chocolate, she says, chucking my shoulder with hers. She's gentle, because I think she knows it wouldn't take much to knock me over. But I like the way she plays around with me. No one has done that in a long time.
Anything the lady wants, I say.
Her face sobers. Don't say it unless you mean it, she warns. I pass her cup to her, and she wraps her hands around it and breathes it in. She smiles over the rim. Thank you, she says quietly. I follow her to a nearby park bench, and she sits down. She's going to freeze her ass off on the metal, but she doesn't seem to mind. She sips her chocolate slowly, savoring every drop. She doesn't talk. She just sits quietly. My mom and I did this every New Year's Eve, I say. She looks up at me and scoots closer, her thigh pressing against mine. The heat of her seeps through my pant leg. I put one arm around her on the back of the bench. Your mom is gone too? She asks. I nod. Then I grunt. I don't mean to do the last, but she doesn't seem to mind. Cancer, I say. Before or after you got hurt? She asks. Before. I drink my hot chocolate and pretend like I'm interested in it, but all I'm interested in is kissing her. So, you and she came here every year and brought the New Year in together? She lays her hand on my thigh. It's comfortable, and so, not. I nod. You miss her. It's not a question. It's a statement. Like crazy some days. Were you close? Her hand squeezes my thigh. It's a delicate touch, but more powerful than anything I've felt in a very long time. Very. She yawns and covers her mouth. I suddenly feel terrible for keeping her up all night working on my watch. Do you want me to take you home so you can get some sleep? I could pick you up tonight in time for the show. Nan's day nurse will be in soon, and then it's keep Nan awake time, so she'll sleep at night. She never does, but they still try. There's no sleep during the day when that's happening. She shakes her head, yawning again. And I don't trust you by yourself, she says. She couldn't possibly know what I have planned, could she? My heart starts to thud. What do you mean? She grins. I'm afraid you won't come back to get me. She sobers and looks into my eyes. Plus, I want to experience your New Year's Eve. She looks up at me, her eyes searching mine. Unless you don't want me to. I want her to. I really, really do. It's barely 8 a.m., I say. We have hours before Rocco's opens, and we can start working down the list. What do you want to do until then? I'm up for anything, but I'd love some guidance. Can you take me to bed? She asks. She yawns again. Bed? I croak out. She nods and lays her head on my shoulder. We could take a nap. I could be persuaded to snuggle. I can't think of anything I'd enjoy more, so I take her hand and pull her up from the bench. You always this easy to get into bed? I ask. I'm joking, but I'm kind of not. I know I'm not going to have sex with this woman. Her breath catches, and for the first time all day, she won't look me in the face. You wouldn't happen to have double beds, would you? I shake my head. A king, I say. It'll do, she says, and she tangles her fingers with mine, and we walk toward my hotel. I have never felt quite so hopeful. At least not in a very long time. You going to stay on your side? She asks. I snort. Do I look stupid? Faith. You know that moment in a movie when the girl walks into the dark basement to see what a noise was, and you sit there screaming at the TV? No, don't go in there. There's a killer waiting to slash your throat down there in the dark. Yeah, this is my moment. Daniel opens the door to his hotel room and steps back so I can precede him. I grab the lapels of his jacket in my fists and look up at him. You're not going to hurt me, are you? His brow line shoots up. He says. Have you ever killed anybody? I ask quickly. He nods. I was in the army. I shake my head frantically. Outside the line of duty. Have you ever decapitated a strange, stupid woman who went back to your hotel room with you after seeing you across a room for a couple of hours? He laughs. It's a deep belly laugh and it sounds so good on him. You think I'd tell you if I did? He turns to me, smacks my bottom soundly, and says, Into the den of sin, lady. I'm right behind you with my handcuffs. The door snicks closed behind us, and I lift a fingernail to my lips and nibble it. Maybe this wasn't such a smart idea. Daniel reaches into his pocket and pulls out a pocket knife. Why do you have a knife? I ask. I take two steps back. He chuckles and looks me in the eye. Real men carry pocket knives, he says. You never know when you'll need to cut something. He lifts my arm and puts the knife in my hand, closing my fist around it. So you can protect yourself from anything that goes bump in the dark, he whispers. He tweaks my nose, including me. Do you have any other weapons? I ask. He nods. I have a gun in the safe. This time, he busies himself not looking at me. Locked up? I ask. He nods and grins. Why do you have a gun? I ask. Because I have a right to bear arms, he says with a shrug. He points to my hand. But now you have a knife, so you have nothing to worry about. Except you taking it from me and using it on me. He takes his coat off and hangs it on the back of the chair. If I wanted to do that, I would have already done it, dummy, he says. He narrows his eyes and finally looks at me. Why did you come here with me? He asks. Truly. Should I tell him? Should I tell him I saw the desperation in his eyes? Should I tell him I know how he's feeling like all hope is lost? Should I tell him how I can sense it? I once felt as lost as you, I say quietly. I'm not lost, he says. His voice is suddenly rough and abraded. I'm right where I want to be. I don't mean directionally, I shoot back. I'm not directionally challenged, he says. He's still tense, though, and I can tell I offended him. I wanted to help you with your list, I say. I bite my lips together to keep from saying more that could offend him. Why? He asks. He starts to rummage in his suitcase, pulling out fresh boxers and a t-shirt. He throws a pair of jeans over his shoulder. I heave a sigh. This is getting worse and worse. Because I can? I squeak out. He approaches me slowly. The truth, Faith, he says. Were you hoping to show me the light? To save my wretched soul? Honestly? I ask. I bite my lower lip and he watches my mouth closely and licks his. No, lie to me, he jokes. But he's serious. I just wanted to make you smile, I say. That's all. My voice cracks. Do you want me to leave? He holds up three fingers. Three things, he says. He shows me one finger. One, you can't try to fix me, okay? I nod. I can try to fix him without him knowing, can't I? He holds up two fingers. Two, I am not going to chop off any vital parts of your anatomy. His eyes slide slowly up and down my body. I like all your parts exactly like they are. While you're breathing, it would seriously be a travesty to change one single thing about you. What's number three? I squeak. He holds up three fingers. Three, he says. He breathes out a heavy sigh. I am not going to fall in love with you, no matter what. He walks slowly toward me. I roll the pocket knife in my hand and he chuckles. He's smiling, though. Now, if you're okay with my list, I'll see you when I get out of the shower. He leans forward and presses his lips to my forehead. He lingers there, taking in a deep breath. You're smelling me again, I whisper. His chest rumbles.
I know, he whispers back.
He finally lifts his head, and I feel a cool spot on my skin where his kiss was. He goes into the bathroom and closes the door behind him. I sink down on the edge of the bed, because I don't want to go anywhere else. Nowhere else at all. I pull my boots off, because they're wet and dirty. I really should have worn socks that match. One of my socks is neon pink with leopard spots, and the other is camouflage. Then I pull my sweatshirt over my head and lay it beside me. I don't know what to do with myself. I suppose this is no different than going home with a random stranger, is it? Nope. At least this random stranger met my grandparents, and they know I'm with him, so it's not as though I'm out in the universe alone. I either need to leave or get over it. I'm here now. I'm not going anywhere. I yawn into my fist. And I do want a nap. My eyelids are growing heavier and heavier every minute. The bathroom door opens and he sticks his head out. His hair is wet and sticking out in all directions. He grins at me, and he looks particularly boyish.
Can you do me a favor? He asks.
He has enough of his chest sticking out that I can see that he's wearing a t-shirt. I look around. Did he forget something?
What?
I ask.
Can you close your eyes?
He grimaces.
Why?
Okay, that was a stupid question, but now it's out there. He frowns.
Just do it, please.
I cover my eyes with my hands and I hear him hop across the carpet. It's a steady thump. He took his leg off and he doesn't want me to see it? I keep my eyes covered until the bed shifts beside me and I feel the covers furrow around me.
You can open them now, he says. It's rather ungraceful to hop across the carpet. He rushes to explain.
I hold up a hand. You can be as ungraceful as you need to be. It won't affect how much I like you.
It's just, he starts. I took my prosthesis off for my shower, and it's kind of a pain to put it back on, and I'm kind of good at hopping.
He's rambling. I think it's cute. But not good enough for me to watch you hop. I grin.
Definitely not.
Maybe on our second date, I say. He doesn't meet my eyes. He tosses the covers back on what I assume is my side.
Come on, he says. Bring your knife.
He laughs. I get up and close the drapes, leaving nothing more than a crack so a sliver of light steals into the room. I see him put his hands behind his head as he looks at me.
You can't sleep in jeans, he says. You'll be uncomfortable.
You trying to get me naked? I ask.
Yep, he says crisply. Is it working?
Nope, I reply.
There are brand new boxers in my bag, if you want to wear them.
I go to his bag and rifle around until I find an unopened pack of underwear. I take them into the bathroom, slide out of my jeans, and pull them on. I look into the mirror and ask myself, what am I doing?
I'm going to take a nap. That's what I'm going to do.
I walk back into the room and he turns off the bedside lamp, and now it's finally dark. I slide under the covers and lay on my stomach with my face turned toward him.
I like you in my boxers, he whispers.
I do too, but I don't say anything.
You going to sleep way over there? He asks quietly.
Yep, I say.
You promised you'd snuggle with me, he says.
It's little more than a breath, but I can hear it.
I wait a pause.
Did I? His hand snakes around my waist and he hooks his arm around me, drawing me forward so that he's lined up behind me like we're two spoons in a drawer. Like Nan and Grandad were wrapped up in each other earlier. I can feel his thighs behind mine, and my bottom is in his lap.
Either you have put your gun in your pocket or you're happy to see me, I say when I feel impressed against my bottom.
Shh, he whispers. He brushes my hair down out of his face and I feel a quick kiss on the nape of my neck.
Go to sleep, he says. I'll protect you from anything that could harm you.
I smile into my pillow. Fine. Make me fall in love with you. I don't care. He tenses behind me, but he doesn't respond.
His fingers play around the hem of my shirt until he finds the edge of it, and then he slides his hand beneath, pressing his palm against my skin. I dare not breathe for fear that he'll move and take away the perfect. Daniel. I wake up with a warm body curled into mine. I'm on my back, and she's lying with her head in the crook of my arm. My whole arm is asleep, and I flex my fingers trying to get the blood to flow. I don't want to move, though. God, I don't want to move. I like the way she feels pressed along my side. I like it so fucking much that I won't ever fucking move. If there was ever a time I wanted the clock to stand still, it's now. Faith wiggles, and her thigh presses into mine, so I do the natural thing and pull it across my body. My dick is so hard I could pound nails with it. But I don't even want to use it. Well, I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to slide into her and make her mine. But I can't. She's not mine. But she's in my arms, and I can pretend she's mine for this second, until she wakes. Faith's hand lies flat on my chest, and she tentatively lifts her fingers and trails them from one side of my chest to the other. Her touch shoots straight to my dick, and if I wasn't hard before, I'm like steel now. I bite back a moan. Daniel, she whispers. Faith, I whisper back. Are you awake? She asks. She doesn't lift her head, and she's still whispering. No. I don't want to wake up. I want to stay in this dream world where I can keep this girl in my arms. Her leg shifts, and it brushes my dick. You are awake, she says quietly. She buries her face in my chest, and I can feel her smile against my chest. I jostle her in my arms. Shh, I say. Let me pretend I'm asleep so I can hold you a little longer. She stills. Then her leg hitches a little higher and she presses into me, softening against me. I'm going back to sleep, she says. That's probably best, I say. Her body is soft and lax against me. I rub her thigh with my fingertips and she purrs against my chest. I start at the back of her knee and rub all the way up to where my hand slides beneath the boxers to feel the elastic of her panties. I roll to face her, and she breathes against my chest. Her leg is over my hip, and I can feel the moist warmth between her thighs close to my dick. It pulses, but she doesn't seem to mind. Do you want me to roll in the other direction? She asks. Yeah, because having my dick pressed along the crack of her ass would be so much better. No, I breathe. Go back to sleep. I can't while you're rubbing me. She giggles against my chest, and I pull her in and wrap my arms around her. She scrubs her face into my chest. What time is it? She asks. I glance over at the clock. 1300, I say. Oh, it's still early. She yawns. Go back to sleep, I say, nudging her. Are you going back to sleep? She asks. I will if you will, I say. Let me hold you for a little longer, please. She nods, her nose brushing up and down my chest. Okay, she breathes. She tilts her face toward mine. Did you call to see if we can get tickets for tonight? She asks. Oh, shit. I didn't. I move to sit up, but her arm wraps around my waist. Don't move yet, she says. I like this. I do, too. I hug her to me and roll so that she has to go with me. She squeals and the sound makes me laugh. I hook the phone cord with my index finger and pull it toward me. Without letting her go, I call the concierge to ask about tickets. He connects me to the ticket agent. I'm so sorry, the man says. We don't have any tickets for tonight's shows. They're all sold out. My heart falls. None? I ask. I have some for the 3 o'clock show, he says, but nothing later. I mouth over the phone at her. How quickly can you be ready? She grins and scurries to stand up. She's fucking gorgeous, with her hair all messy, tumbled, and a crease on her face from where she was laying on my shirt. Really quickly, she says. She dances in place and holds her breath as she waits for an answer. We'll take 2 for the 3 o'clock, I say. She squeals and dances in a circle. That's when I notice her feet. What the fuck is she wearing? She has on knee socks that don't come close to matching. I grin. I can't help it. She's just too fucking adorable. And she's hot in my boxers. I admit it. I call first dibs on the bathroom, she says. She grabs her purse and spins to run to get ready. I finish buying the tickets and push the covers back. I can hear the shower running, and I get dressed in nice slacks and a button-down shirt. Then I make a call to the concierge because I want to do something nice for her that will surprise her and make her smile. I'm tying my tie when I hear the bathroom door open. Can I use your hairbrush? She asks through the tiny crack in the door. You can use anything I have, I say. She opens the door enough to smile at me. Her hair is wrapped in a towel and her face is free of makeup. I have to say, she's just as hot like this as she was a minute ago. The door clicks closed behind her. I can hear the hair dryer, and I imagine her getting primped. I smile. It's a foreign feeling, and my cheeks are aching from it. But it feels good. It feels really good. I rub my hand across my scruffy cheeks. I'm not going to have time to shave. I don't think she'll care. The door opens, and she steps out. She walks out slowly, like she's unaware that she's rocking my fucking world. She was beautiful before, but good God, now she takes my breath. She's wearing a slinky dress that drapes her curves. It dips low between her breasts with a loop of fabric. It has a slim belt that skirts her hips, right where my hands want to be. I clench my fists and force myself to stay put. Her dress falls just past her knees, and her legs are bare, and they go on forever in a fucking day. Oh my God, I breathe. I sound like a teenage girl. Do I look all right? She asks. I hold my finger up and make a spin with it, because I want to see all of her. She slowly spins, looking at me from over her shoulder, biting her lower lip. Her back is bare too, and her dress drapes open to just above her bottom. Yeah, I say. I gulp. You look all right. I can't put two words together right now. She turns her back to me. Tell me the truth, she says. Can you tell I'm not wearing panties? Fuck me. Faith. I feel stupid until his jaw falls open and he can't utter a sound. Then I feel beautiful and powerful. And utterly wanted. Well, he starts. He stops to gulp. I didn't know until you told me, but now it's all I'll be able to fucking think about. His gaze doesn't leave my ass as he licks his lips. I turn back around to face him and point to his mouth. You have a little drool right there, I say. He reaches up and swipes a hand below his mouth. I do not, he says, looking at the back of his hand. I might in a second, though. He does that spinny thing with his hand again. Spin around one more time, he coaxes, but he's grinning and there's devilry in his eyes. I turn very, very slowly and he lets out a groan. Seriously, I say, do I look all right for the theater? Well, I was kind of hoping you were going to wear the mismatched socks. Heat creeps up my face. They wouldn't match my shoes, I say. I sit down on the edge of the bed and put my shoes on, buckling the thin straps around my ankles. They make me about 3 inches taller, which means I will now come up to his nose. So, he says. Then he stops and shakes his head. What? I ask. Nothing, he says, but he's grinning. I tilt my head at him. He's happy. Don't say nothing. Ask me. So, he says again. Then he grins widely, even wider than before. Why aren't you wearing panties again? I am thoroughly enjoying this. I turn around and show him my rear end. The dress is so sheer that I get a panty line with them on. I shrug. And the bra is obvious. He swallows hard, and his dark eyes get even darker. You're not wearing a bra either, he says. It's not a question. His eyes linger around my chest. I point over my shoulder. backless dress, remember? I ask. Are you all right? I ask. He sits down on the couch and stuffs a pillow into his lap and then scrubs a hand down his face. He lays his head back and growls. Oh, I say. I finally get it. Oh, I say a little louder because a light bulb just went off in my head. You're, having some, lust issues. His head jerks up and he looks me in the eye. I'm having some, there's a beautiful woman with a naked snatch right in front of me issues. I have to turn away from that one because my face is probably completely red. Wow, I breathe. He's behind me in less than 2 seconds. I'm sorry, he says. I didn't mean to be crude, but you got me